All right, that's that river of God's anointing, and we love to be flowing in that river,
Amen.
Don't we, Michelle?
Wow. All consumed
Woo!
By it.
We just love that opening song because it talks about the anointing of God.
Amen.
The very presence of God that we have upon us and within us that absolutely is life-changing. And it causes you to do crazy things like...
Crazy.
And we're going to talk about some of those crazy things today, aren't we, Michelle Cardinal?
Only the crazy stuff we've heard about because, you know, we're not crazy.
That's right. Okay. And we are so glad you've joined us today on Living the Good Life. In fact, it's a good day. It's May 16th, I think,
uh-huh.
2010.
Uh-huh. It's a good day.
Yeah. Sunday after Mother's Day. And, yeah, it's just exciting to be walking in the Word and walking in God's presence on a daily basis. Don't you love it, Michelle?
Naturally. I mean, naturally, I love it. And
yes.
Naturally walking in it. It's great.
Isn't it great?
It's rewarding.
And it's life-changing, isn't it?
Amen.
I mean, you know, can you remember back to those days, Michelle, before you lived that way all the time?
I have no idea what you're talking about.
Okay, maybe she didn't have days like that. But some of us did.
Yes.
Where we just did not feel the presence of God. And God says, hey, I want to bring you into a new place. And we're going to talk about that new place today and how we get there.
Amen. And, obviously I was being facetious. And I do remember those days.
Facetious. Yes.
Facetious. Facetious.
Uh-huh.
I do remember those days, and I remember those days so I can share the victory of today.
Amen.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to talk about some of those days, the past mm-hmm. ones and the current ones
right.
and what God has in store. Actually, kind of the 30, 60, 100 thing, and some people out there may be going, what is that? Maybe you'll hear about that today. You are listening to Living the Good Life, coming to you live. Live. Yeah, live. Can you tell?
Yes.
In the studio
you
of
got a
Clearwater,
couple of live
Florida.
Ones
in yes,
the
we do. We have a couple live ones here today. We're a little crazy. And our
right.
engineer's not much better than we are.
Uh-huh.
He's just nuts in there.
It's alive!
Yeah. He took the crazy pill and says, take one out there, and we all took one.
Is that it? Uh-huh. Oh, now I know. Okay. We're so glad you have joined us today on Living the Good Life, live from Beacon of Hope Ministries in Clearwater, Florida. Beacon of Hope is an international ministry. We are not limited
Amen.
To Clearwater, Florida. In fact, we have so many people that are not living in Clearwater, Florida, that you could call this the ministry that is not in Clearwater, Florida.
Amen.
And is, I guess.
That's
all right.
Right,
is not and is. So anyway, yes, we're being just a little nuts, but that's okay. We're excited because we had service this morning at Beacon, and God was so present like he always is. And it's just wonderful to be able to share some truths with you today on the radio. And Michelle is working on getting the email up right now. And you can, during the show, email us directly right here to this table at pastor@beaconofhopeministries.com. pastor@beaconofhopeministries.com. We love to hear from people. We love to hear from you. So give us a little shout out or hopefully you're seeing us right now on the video. And if you are listening on the radio in the Tampa Bay area on 1340 AM or one of the other stations that this show comes on, or in the Arkansas or Mississippi area, you can also access us live at tantalk1340.com. www.tantalk1340.com. And then you have to push the listen button, and then you can hear us live. So that's pretty cool, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. And if you have a Mac, Apple computer,
yes,
go to Ustream.
Oh, it's only on Mac or Apple that you can do that?
Well, no, you can do it on anything. But what you just said, Tantalk 1340,
yeah,
you can get on a PC. If you're on an Apple, it doesn't go through that way.
Okay.
You got to go to Ustream. Any computer will go to Ustream. But
okay,
particularly Apple's. Apple's are not set up for that.
Okay, Ustream what, .com?
Ustream, yeah, .com.
The letter U and then stream.
Yep, like
S-T-R-E-A-M?
Stream of water.
Right, there you go, Ustream. And then how do they access it then? Then they put in Tantalk1340.com?
Yep.
Okay.
That's it.
All right, I'm glad you told us that. Now we know. We're so glad you have joined us today. We're going to talk a lot about God's answers to prayer, and we are seeing tremendous answers to prayer. We had so many praise reports this morning right before I started to preach, Michelle, that it was like getting everybody to get in their praise report was really cool. It was fun. So some of you may want to go back and access some other ones of our shows. And I was on our beaconofhopeministries.com website this morning, beaconofhopeministries.com. And on that, you can hit the radio ministry button, and you will have all of the radio shows from this year, 2010. They're all there. You can listen at any time, day or night. Mm-hmm. Michelle, don't you think that's kind of a cool thing to be able to listen at any time? I mean,
I think that's a great thing because a lot of people aren't available on Sundays. A lot of people are available on Sunday and need a little uplift on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday.
Exactly.
Just like a podcast.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
That's what it is.
Going on the online for a podcast. So, yeah, it's really cool.
So just go to beaconofhopeministries.com, push one of the, and we actually have titles of what those shows were about. So you can, and see who was on the show, and you can go back and just click one and listen for a while. Mm-hmm. And so that's really a cool thing.
I've done that before, too, and it's really
I've done it, too. And it's kind of cool to go back and listen. And
And you can listen while you're at work. You know, you put it on and close the window, you know, minimize the window and continue work. It's really kind of neat.
It's great. So that's a wonderful advantage that we have. Now, we are glad you've joined us. Let's pray together. Dear Heavenly Father, we come to you right now in the name of Jesus, and we ask you to bless this broadcast. Bless our time together. Bless Michelle and I as we share the word, and for Catherine as she calls in. And Lord, we just thank you for the dialogue, the discussion that's going to happen. But especially, God, we thank you for the truth of your living word.
Amen.
That's
yes.
going to get down on the inside of us and strengthen us for the tasks of this coming week that we have to face. Lord, we thank you in the name of Jesus for the opportunity to share the word on this radio station, that we live in a free country where we can do that. So God, it is all for you, for your glory this moment, and we give it all to you now in Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name, amen.
Ooh, amen. I asked Connie to put this song on. I didn't know she was going to put it on first, but it's one of my favorites. It's about 30 or 40 years old. How about that?
All right.
By the Imperials, it's Praise the Lord. And if this doesn't rock you, I don't know what will.
All right.
When you're up against a struggle that shatters all your dreams, and your hopes have been cruelly crushed by Satan's manifested scheme, and you feel the urge within you to submit to earthly fears, don't let the faith you're standing in seem to disappear. Chains that seem to bind you. So-
that we are paupers, when he knows himself we're children of the King. So lift up the mighty shield of faith, for the battle must be won. We know that Jesus Christ is risen, so the work's already done. Praise the Lord, He can work through those who praise Him. Praise the Lord,
praise the Lord,
for God in heaven. Praise the Lord, for the chains that seem to bind you serve only to remind you that they drop.
You singing
the show? Praise Him.
We were just talking. Tell our audience what you were just saying about this song.
Well, usually I like more current Christian songs.
That's an old one. Yeah, I agree. But the message.
Yeah, and it's from the bowels of your soul that you sing it. And
yes.
Because you're like, praise the Lord. And it just, the more you do that, and the more you want to praise, and the more.
Doesn't it? And you said you just drive around town and you're. Because you own a pool business in your little pool truck.
Uh-huh.
And you're just singing that song a lot.
I do.
For
yes,
the chains
that
seems to bind you.
And then they drop powerless behind
Woo!
You. It's just a powerful song because it is. You have to see that happening. When you see it happen,
yes,
it happens.
It happens. We're going to talk about real life experiences today on Living the Good Life.
Yes.
We're going to talk about what the Bible says about this subject of praising God. We're going to go to Acts 16. If you have your Bible, let's go there. And we're not going to go through all the details, except we're going to start about Acts 16:16. There was an incident where Paul and Silas are going to the place of prayer. And as they head there, and it was a daily event that they did, there was a little slave girl that would run along. And she started getting to the point where she was screaming out about them. And on the surface, Michelle, it appeared that this was an okay thing to do. Because this little girl was shouting, these men are working for the Most High God. They're laying out the road of salvation for you. And Pastor Jim pointed out this morning that really in the original Greek was a road to salvation, not the road.
Oh, yes, that's right. I like that
you
said that.
Yeah, isn't that good in the original Greek? So she was not saying this is the way to heaven. She was just saying a way. But she was, you know, on the surface, a lot of people must have thought, oh, this little girl, you know, she's in their camp. You know, she's all about these apostles and how they're talking about God and especially about Jesus. And the truth of the matter was, though, she was a psychic and a fortune teller. And she, yes, very good. Thank you for the sound effects. We need more things other than the bell, right? And she was actually working for a group of people that were fortune tellers, and this was of the devil. This was not of God. They were going around doing some, you know, telling people the future and all that kind of stuff. Paul finally, it says after a few days, he was fed up with this thing happening all the time. And I don't know if it took him that long for him to realize this isn't of God, or maybe it was just that he was waiting on the right moment to do this. But anyway, Paul turns around, and I'm in about verse 18 of Acts 16. And Paul, fed up with her, turned and commanded the spirit that possessed her. And he said, out in the name of Jesus Christ, get out of her. And it was gone, just like that. And we believe God can and does through us cast out demonic spirits. And that's what happened here. Now, did that cause her owners to be real happy with Paul, Michelle?
Yeah, they were real happy because they no longer had to make money, could make money.
Couldn't
off
make
her.
Money.
So they decided, hey, this is a great opportunity for us to go make our own money. No, I think they were a little
that
irritated.
Was all sarcastic, right?
Yes.
Yes. Okay.
A little sarcastic.
Right. They were irritated, weren't they?
Yeah, they were very irritated. And, you know, it makes me think, you know, it just popped in my head of how dollar-driven some people are.
Yes.
That one of two things happen. They simply don't care about the right, I'm doing air quotes,
okay,
right or wrong thing to do. They just want to get that dollar.
Yes.
And if they are aware of it, they justify it.
Right.
And, you know,
they were greedy.
Yeah. They, or even in this case, you know, you can see somebody justifying the ends to a mean by saying, well, they did say this is the way to salvation. She did say this is the way to salvation.
Right.
We just happened to make money off of her.
Right.
Kind of thing. So I thought that was an interesting point.
It is, isn't it? And this caused an uproar, not just with her owners, but her owners caused all kinds of trouble in town, didn't they?
Yeah, which was, what follows is a little disheartening.
It's a little drastic, don't you think?
God.
Oh my gosh. If you've got
crazy
your Bible, I hope you can join us at Acts 16, about verse 19. Let's look at that. I'm good now. When her owners saw that their lucrative little business was suddenly bankrupt, they went after Paul and Silas, roughed them up, and dragged them into the market square. I mean, they didn't take this lightly. And then the police arrested them and pulled them into court with this accusation. Here's the accusation. These men are disturbing the peace. Now, I find that quite interesting because it was exactly the opposite.
Right. Actually, the girl was disturbing the peace.
Exactly. Is that interesting?
Yes.
These men are disturbing the peace. And here's what they said. Dangerous Jewish agitators subverting our Roman law and order. And by this time, the crowd had turned into a restless mob out for blood. Now, one thing I've known through the years of ministry is there is a total opposite effect of restlessness versus peace.
Mm-hmm.
Another thing we call it is chaos versus peace. Okay.
Right.
Chaos or restlessness is the work of the devil.
Devil. And if anybody ever has a question, is this of God or if this is this of Satan? Does it feel good?
Right.
Then it's probably God.
Right.
If it doesn't feel good, it's a Satan. And you know what? Yes, it is that simple.
It is that simple. It's that restlessness, chaos. Restlessness is always a mark of demonic activity.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? When you can't get calm, you can't settle down, you're agitated all the time, you know, you've got some issues, you know, that need to be dealt with. And what's interesting is that Satan is such a liar. And Jesus even said that in John 8. So we're going to run over to John 8 for just a moment. I want to show you what Jesus said in John chapter 8, verse 42. And here's what he said when he was talking about Satan and all the junk that he does. John chapter 8, look at verse 42. And these are the words of Jesus. If God were your father, said Jesus. Now, he's talking to religious leaders that, you know, were a lot of them religious, but not truly spiritual and really did not want to believe in Jesus.
Right.
So Jesus is talking to these people and he says, if God were your father, you would love me, meaning himself, Jesus. For I came from God and arrived here. I didn't come on my own. He sent me. Why can't you understand one word I say? That's, by the way, another hallmark of people that are just full of demonic stuff. They have a real hard time understanding the simplicity of the gospel,
right,
you know, and all about Jesus. And I'm in John 8, 42, 43. Here's why. He says, you can't handle it. You're from your father, the devil. Now, this did not make Jesus real popular when he was saying this to these leaders. You are from your father, the devil, and all you want to do is please him. And then he goes on and describes the devil. He was a killer from the very start. He couldn't stand the truth. Okay? So here's another hallmark of what when you're walking and listening to the right voices, you want truth. That's
right.
Peace. Peace comes from truth. Truth being spoken results in peace is what I'm trying to say.
Mm-hmm.
The other way around, lies, chaos, restlessness, that's all from the devil. And that is not the way we need to be.
No.
So, go ahead.
Just real quick, that restlessness could be anything as something as tormenting your mind that has physical effects on you, like ulcers and headaches, to restlessness so you can't sleep. The devil doesn't want you to sleep because then you can't think clearly. So, you know, this may seem like, oh, well, that's really spiritual, but really I have this physical ailment. I know. But that's what Jesus, that's what Satan puts on you to, so you can't focus. And
that's right.
You notice the closer you get, the more crap that happens.
Right.
You know, what we were just talking about, Catherine had an answered prayer about her.
Yes.
Her whole conference being paid for.
Right.
The very next day, she had a blood vessel burst in her eye, and she's been having severe headaches.
Right.
It's like, no way. I'm not going to, I rebuke that in the name of Jesus.
Exactly. And that's what the devil comes. He comes in to lie, to steal. Well, Jesus said it in John 10:10. This is a verse you really need to get in your arsenal, in your notebook. John 10:10. Because Jesus said the thief, meaning Satan, comes to steal, kill, and destroy. Jesus said, but I came to give you life and to give it abundantly.
Right. Amen.
Amen. So he goes on here in John 8 about verse 43 or 44, and he says, Satan couldn't stand the truth because there wasn't a shred of truth in him. When the liar speaks, he makes it up out of his lying nature and fills the world with lies. And then Jesus said, I arrive on the scene, tell you the plain truth, and you refuse to have a thing to do with me. Can any of you convict me of a single misleading word? And then he just goes on to say, anyone on God's side listens to God's words. I like that sentence. And it's found there in about verse 47. Of John chapter 8. In the Message Bible, it says, anyone on God's side listens to God's words. Okay? So now we go back to Acts 16. We go back there, and we find out that this mob and the people who owned this little slave girl were lying about Paul and Silas.
Really?
Hard to believe, isn't it?
I know.
And they were saying, these men are disturbing the peace, when it was just the opposite.
Right.
Okay, they were going to a place to pray, and she was disturbing them. You pointed that out very eloquently, Michelle. And so then they get the crowd all stirred up, and there's that restless mob. In the Message Bible, the last line of verse 21 of Acts 16 says this, by this time the crowd had turned into a restless mob out for blood. Now, could that be of God?
No.
Why not?
Not at all. Because it's not good.
It's
and
not
you know
good.
What? It's that simple. I cannot emphasize this enough. Don't you find it very interesting when somebody's wrong and they try to talk themselves out of it?
Oh, yeah.
And they get more complicated in their speak.
Right.
And they use, you know, these eloquent terms and this real difficult terminology.
Right.
And, you know, and they're trying to get themselves out of a corner.
Yes.
But when somebody's just like, I love you. Mm-hmm. That's simple.
It's that simple.
It is that simple.
It is that simple.
And the more complicated, you know who I'm talking about, those people that try. And you know, it could have been me or you at one point, you know, because we get so nervous and we're like, well, what I really meant was, and you back yourself in a corner.
That's right.
And it's because you're trying to cover what a tangled web we weave when we first choose to deceive.
That's right.
And it's true. And the more complicated, I find it very interesting. That's what the devil does.
Yes.
Because once you're onto him with the simplicity of the word.
Yes.
He needs to make it complicated, like, well, you know what? That's not really what it says, and you're obviously too stupid to realize that.
Yes.
Okay, what it really means is you have to live this perfect life.
Right.
And
which
you're never going to get there.
Right.
So you might as well come on my side.
That's right.
That's
a great example. And speaking of that, because this is what the devil had done here, got that whole town in an uproar. Bill, we've got some
feedback
going on here. Okay. What that devil had done through these people in the crowd had caused such a disturbance that now everybody, you know, that crowd mentality.
Ugh.
What is crowd mentality?
It's just, you know, every time I think of the crowd mentality, I think of like what happens with dogs when they're in packs.
Yes.
And they attack an animal because that's their, and they rip it to shreds.
Mm-hmm.
And now normally you have this sweet little old dog wouldn't hurt a flea, but he gets consumed in the pack mentality of ripping their right. prey to death. Mm-hmm. And that's what they do. They don't even realize they do. And then they could, it's like a Jekyll Hyde thing. Mm-hmm. It's like, la, 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 what happened? But, you
right.
know, they rip this.
Exactly.
And it's happened in our neighborhood with some packs of dogs. There's only like three or four of them. And they've literally ripped a cat to
yes.
shreds. But you're like, I know that dog. I can't believe it just did that.
That is a great analogy because people do that.
Exactly.
And that's
they
what happened here in Acts 16. And before we go back to Acts 16, I've got to go over and read to you John 1:14. John 1:14. I love, this is one of my favorite chapters in the whole Bible. And it's talking about Jesus and God calls him the Word. And John 1:14, the Word, meaning Jesus, became flesh and blood and moved into the neighborhood. We saw the glory with our own eyes, the one-of-a-kind glory, like Father, like Son. He's just like his Father. Generous inside and out, true from start to finish. In the New American Standard, it says they're full of grace and truth. What's it say? Do you have the NIV?
Yes, the same thing.
It says, ahead, read 1:14.
The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us.
Amen.
Real quick on that part, among us, not, he made his dwelling next to Pastor Marshall.
Right.
He made his dwelling next to this church.
Right.
He made his dwelling among us.
Everybody, yeah.
Everyone, among us all. We have seen his glory.
Oh, amen.
The glory of the one and only who came from the Father, full of grace and truth.
Full of grace and truth.
Amen.
So now we go back to Acts 16, and we see here that Paul and Silas were preaching Jesus. What are they preaching? They're preaching grace and truth.
Mm-hmm.
It's all about Jesus, grace and truth. What do these bad guys do? They say, oh, these people are disturbing the peace. These people are causing a ruckus here. And a crowd mentality of brutality. Mentality of brutality.
And can we talk about how brutal it is? Because I was reading the notes during the service.
Okay.
And what flogged means.
Yes.
You know, what they did, this is, you know, this pack mentality, mm-hmm. and that's why I thought about this pack mentality of the dogs.
Right.
What this crowd did, what is the flogging? Is
yes.
it the crowd that did the flogging or the
Well, yeah, they
the
ordered
soldiers?
It. Yeah, they ordered it.
They ordered it. And this is what it states in the NIV notes, is the Romans used a whip made of several strips of leather in which were embedded near the ends pieces of bone and lead.
Yeah.
The Jews limited the number of stripes to a maximum of 40, in practice to 39, just in case they lost count. Oh, my God. That you even have to think that far. Oh, my gosh.
Like,
that's mind-blowing in itself.
Isn't it?
But no such limitations was recognized by the Romans. And
that's
the
right.
The victims of Roman floggings often did not survive.
They did not survive. Okay, so Paul and Silas, this happened to them.
Bones and lead.
How bad is that? Yeah, oh my gosh. Well, this is what Jesus suffered.
I'm telling you,
but again,
exactly
Jesus suffered the 39.
The 39,
you know,
yeah.
You know, 40, but in case we, you know, miscounted.
Like I said, that
But the Romans did not have that number, that count. They didn't stop there. And so Paul and Silas, it says here, I'm in verse 22. Of Acts 16, if you just joined us on Living the Good Life, Paul and Silas's clothes were ripped off and they ordered a public beating of them. After beating them black and blue, it says in the message. Now, I don't know what it says there in yours. They threw them into jail.
Yeah, and here they joined an attack against Silas, stripped and beaten. After they had been severely flogged, they were thrown into prison and the jailer. Okay, then we go on to the jailer, but that's it. They were just their feet in the stocks.
In the stocks. Okay, does your note say anything about those? Because the Dake's Bible I was studying was talking about how bad these leg irons were. And how serious this was to be put in leg irons.
No, and I found that interesting. I'd like to read up more on that, too. But it does state, it doesn't get into detail, but it does say that used not only for the extra security, but also for torture.
Torture, yeah.
So, I mean, and you were saying if they moved in them, it ripped their flesh off their ankles.
Yeah. So, I mean, this had to be super painful after they had been...
For disturbing the peace.
For disturbing the peace, yeah.
How much did they weigh, the leg ankles?
Don't know. Don't know. I know they were huge, though. We just don't know. But we know that it was painful. Right. We know that they were not feeling good at this point. Now they're put in maximum security in a dungeon, really, a dungeon in the bottom of the jail, clear down in the pit, which we talked about probably was stinky, nasty, awful, dirty, dark, terrible.
Right.
Now, I don't know about you, Michelle, but I think that most people, if put in a situation like that, would have just gone to sleep to try to avoid the pain of the circumstance, tried to go to sleep in their pain. These guys were beat up. They were totally beat up for the gospel. For why? Why? Because Paul turned around and cast a demon out of a psychic, a fortune-telling little girl? That's what caused this?
I know, and I keep thinking about the story of Stephen that we talked about at Bible study Wednesday, too. It's just like, really?
Yes.
And, and you know, we sit here and we're blown away by this, but this still happens.
People are tortured for their faith. Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
It's very sad. So.
And we live in a country where, for the most part, we aren't seeing that, but that doesn't mean we won't at some point.
Yep, and let's praise God for what we do have.
Absolutely. Well, let's get to verse 25, and then we need to talk about this, Michelle, because I think this is huge stuff right here. Mm-hmm. In verse 25 and 26, along about midnight, Paul and Silas were at prayer and singing a robust hymn to God. I love that. Mm-hmm. They were not singing just a little, Jesus loves me. I mean, don't you think they were like hitting it?
Yes,
you know,
I
like
do.
The song we just did. Yep. Praise the Lord for those chains that seem to bind me.
Right, exactly.
Serve
they literally
remind
meant
me.
It.
And yeah, exactly. And they were like giving it all they got because there is the adjective there, the robust hymn to God. This was not a little tiny, I'm in verse 25 of Acts 16. This was not a wimpy little song. This was not a barely get it out of your mouth with no breath behind it or no energy behind it. This was a robust hymn to God. And they were singing in the midst of their pain, the darkness, the smell, the fact that their bodies were all beat up. They were singing praises to God. Whoa.
It is amazing, too. But it just tells you, it's even in our everyday life, here these guys are in the depths of death.
Yes.
And I believe those stocks are kind of like what you do is you put your legs in them, you're sitting, and then it clamps over it.
Yeah.
They're like a clamp rather than, you know, hanging on them. They're clamped into them. You follow?
Yeah,
so
I do.
So here they are in the depths of death.
Yes.
I even believe that they're near death. But you think of it. We feel that way. A lot of people feel that way because of the economy.
Yes.
Because in relationships that they don't find any way out, whether it's an abusive relationship or some unhealthy relationship, there's maybe an alcoholic involved or something, and they just feel
in it
close to death, and they would probably much prefer death over this pain they're experiencing. And I can't personally go that far, but I know I've been really bummed out and depressed over some serious stuff, and I'm just like, Lord, just give me something. I don't know what else to do except talk to you.
Right.
And then as I'm talking, I'm like, and this is what else I'm looking for. And then, I put in a CD and I'm like, yeah, this is a song. This song is exactly how I'm feeling right now. And then another song comes on. I'm like, praise the Lord. And you just escalate.
You escalate, don't you?
And I think that's what happened
here.
They're like, we are in a bad place right now. What can we do? Let's just start talking a little bit. We believe, right? You believe, Silas, right?
Yeah.
Is that I believe? Okay. Well, let's start talking about it. And then boom, just comes out.
It escalates.
And, they probably started singing, I feel the earth move under my feet.
Great song.
So it did. Exactly. Then they started getting excited.
You think they sang that song?
I think they do. That's where it came from.
Oh, that's where it came from. It's biblical.
Yeah, exactly.
We are jesting, of course. But your point is well made, Michelle, because what happened is they were human. Paul and Silas were human people just like us. They had been beaten up. They had been stripped naked, probably.
Literally.
Yeah. And they were beaten. It says black and blue. They had all of these cuts and scrapes and bruises. And they had to be near death. I agree with you. I think they were near death.
I do, too.
I don't think this was, I mean, mob mentality. You think about that. People get crazy and they do stupid things. And it probably just escalated, you know, like you said.
Right.
And just got worse. And now they're thrown in maximum security, which I find interesting since they're so beat up. They throw them in maximum security.
Where are they going?
Yeah, well, I mean, well, how are they getting anywhere? But don't you think that was just the crowd mentality of being, we're going to do the utmost, the maximum, we're going to teach you guys a lesson. You cannot speak in the name of Jesus. Because that's what they were mad about.
Exactly, because you know what that tells me? They were petrified.
Absolutely.
They were telling the truth.
The devil hates the name of Jesus.
Yep.
And if you out there listening today or listening 5 months from now, don't understand this concept, write it down somewhere. The name of Jesus is higher than any other name. Higher than the name of cancer. Higher than the name of physical illness of any kind.
Back pain. Earaches. Emotional distress.
Anything.
Alcoholism.
Anything.
Everything and anything.
Addiction.
Addictions. Any addictions.
Tumors. Anything.
And it is written.
It is written.
You command the devil to leave. Flee.
Yes.
In the name of Jesus, and he has to.
He has to.
He doesn't say, well, make me. No. It's a non-negotiable.
Well, that's why this little girl got delivered instantly.
Instantly.
There wasn't days of prayer vigils for this little girl. The faith of Paul and Silas was so strong. They just turned around. Paul said, in the name of Jesus, come out of her. Bam. And she was delivered.
Right.
And that's the kind of mountain-moving faith we believe in at Beacon of Hope. And that's the kind we are nurturing. That's the kind we are growing within ourselves. And because we want to see these kind of miracles happen.
Amen.
And we have been seeing some.
And so does God.
Ooh.
And that's why it says faith is acting.
Yes.
Like God is telling you the truth.
Yes.
God has told you the truth.
That's exactly
and
right.
And you know, that's sometimes what people that, you know, waver on their belief of God and the power of the name of Jesus. Well, I don't know. No, you have to.
Yes.
Believe.
You got to get it down on the inside
of you. You got to. And these are the words we're giving you.
Right.
To say, and they're simple. Devil, I told you to leave.
Yes.
You don't have to say, I withdrew thou and this and thus. You don't have to do that. Say, devil, out.
Yeah,
go.
It's that simple.
In the name of Jesus.
It's that simple.
And he has to.
You fall into agreement with what the word says. You absolutely don't mess around with this. This is, if you were, somebody at lunch today said, I've heard that there's a lot of E. coli in a lot of lettuce right now again. Well,
really?
I don't know. I hadn't heard it, but
okay.
So what happens? I don't think anybody ordered a salad today.
Yeah, right.
Okay. I mean, it was like, I think almost all of us had breakfast. You know, maybe there was one salad. But for the most part, you know, if you hear something like that, you want to stay away from that.
Right.
Don't you? Don't you? Yeah.
Uh-huh.
And if you hear that this torment is going to absolutely harass you, you know, all the stuff that the devil throws. Don't you want to stay away from that?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, really, don't you want to stay away from fear and doubt and anxiety and stress and panic attacks?
Yes, yes.
All of that.
Yes, yes. And every time I'm ready to deliver a sermon.
Yes. Like last Sunday, and you were great.
Oh,
it was a great sermon last Sunday at Beacon
of Hope.
I
have a panic attack.
You told me that later. You did not. It did not come across that way at all, that you were struggling right at the beginning.
And I'm like, and you know, it's that most uncomfortable second that, swear to God, lasts like 15, 20 minutes in my mind. I'm like, oh my God, what am I going to say?
Yeah.
Or even leading up to it.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, and this is not me. I believe this is a gift from God. God has blessed me with this.
Oh, it was a great sermon.
And so I open myself up for him to put the words in my mouth. So it's not I love doing it. Don't get me wrong. So I'm saying, I start getting that, like, oh, I don't know what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
You know?
The insecurities start. The devil comes with the lies of the devil to say, Michelle, who do you think you are getting up here?
Right. And I had
And your mother was there last Sunday, and that made it maybe a little bit even.
Well, not with her, because she's
so
just
sweet.
Loves listening.
Yeah.
She thinks she actually blows up my ego. So, no, and what it is I actually had a conscious thought saying, God put the words in my mouth.
Yes. That's what you have to do.
That quick.
That quick.
And boom, it rolled.
But the devil comes with things like that, panic and fear and all the stuff.
Sleeplessness.
If you're an addict out there right now listening to the show, the devil comes and says you can't live without your drug,
mm-hmm.
can't live without your alcohol. You know, that's the kind of stuff the devil throws at us. And quite possibly he tried. I would not think for a moment that he didn't try to get at Paul and Silas mm-hmm. when they're in the dungeon with thoughts like, you know, this place stinks. There's a lot of E. coli down here.
Yeah, no kidding. Or how about, God really loves you.
What happened to you. Look mm-hmm. at you. You're in leg irons and you're in pain and God's not going to do anything to help you here.
Mm-hmm.
Those are the lies that the devil throws at us. And guys, we got to start recognizing them for what they are. They're lies. They're absolute lies, you know? And so we see what here happened. All right. I am in about verse 25 and 26. You want to read them in your translation?
Verse 25 and 26?
Uh-huh. We're in Acts 16.
Round about midnight,
mm-hmm.
Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God.
Amen.
And the other prisoners were listening to them.
Aha. Uh-huh.
I think that was a big piece, too.
I do, too.
Because at the prisoners were actually listening.
Yes.
And I also believe buying it. They're like, wow, this is mm-hmm. this is something we need to listen to.
How can these guys possibly be praising God?
Yeah, and they were buying it. They were on board with it, I think.
Oh, yeah.
And that, in turn, shows the power of prayer.
Amen.
Anyway, sorry about that. Suddenly.
Ah.
one of Connie's favorite words.
Right.
Suddenly, there was such a violent earthquake that the foundations of the prison were shaken. At once, all the prison doors flew open and everybody's chains came loose.
Whoa, for those chains that seem to bind you.
Fall
serve only
power,
to remind
yes.
you that they drop powerless behind you as you praise him.
Uh-huh.
What were they doing? They were praising God in the midst of the pain, in the midst of the suffering. They were praising God. That's exactly what they were doing.
Yes.
That's exactly what they were doing. We got to go to this song, and then we're going to come back, and we're going to talk more about it, Michelle. We're going to really get into nitty-gritty, day-to-day. How do our listeners out there
live the good life?
And yet, how do they live the good life? How do they do this when they're up against something this serious and this painful in their life? Listen to this song by Casting Crowns. I love it. Praise you in this storm. You may be going through a storm right now.
Mm-hmm.
Praise you in this storm.
Sure by now, God, you would have reached down and wiped our tears away, stepped in and saved the day. But once again, I say amen, and it's still raining. But as the thunder rolls, I barely hear you whisper through the rain. As your mercy falls, I'll raise my hands and praise the God who gives and takes away. And I'll praise you in this storm, and I will lift my head. Stumbled in the wind, you heard my cry to you, my strength is almost gone. How can I carry on if I can't find you? But as the thunder rolls, I barely hear you whisper through. My hands and praise the God who gives and takes away. And I'll praise you in this storm, and I will lift my hands, for you are who you are, no matter where I am. And every tear I've cried, you hold in your hand. You never left my side.
Some of you out there may be going through a storm right this moment in your life. It can be financial. It can be a relationship falling apart. It can be job problems. It can be all kinds of things. Problems with a child. So many things. Sickness in your body. So many storms. And what that song by Casting Crowns says, I'm going to praise you in the storm. Michelle Cardinal, that is what Paul and Silas did, no matter how beat up they were, how broken their bodies were, how awful they must have felt. Maybe they were worn out and didn't even feel like staying awake. You know, most of us would have just fallen asleep, you know?
I know, midnight.
Midnight, yeah.
After getting your behind lip.
Yeah, kicked. Big time.
I'm telling you, I mean,
beat
geez.
Up.
I know. I'm just, and you know, I can't emphasize this enough. This is just an extreme perspective. But really, haven't you, I know I have.
Right.
Felt that way emotionally.
Oh, absolutely.
And like, I've cried so hard that my eyes were puffed,
exactly.
Swollen shut.
Yes.
You know, just for any number of things, a broken heart or financial distress or
right.
just feelings of helplessness.
Totally.
I honestly have felt as though I've been in the dungeon
yes.
and kicked and beaten. I have physically been beaten up.
I totally
by a rabid crowd. I physically
right.
have been beaten up, and I felt as though, you know,
when you were in the service.
Yes,
yeah.
And I've had those experiences, so I know people can relate to this. You know, cross it over into this is metaphoric for
right.
some of us, like
yes.
me. And I know there's many people who have look like some people in the church that have been beaten over the head
yes.
a number of times with alcoholism,
right?
You know, and that feeling of helplessness, or you know, and even people who are looking to have children,
yes, and can't get pregnant,
undeserving,
and, yes.
and all that stuff, and you know, that's that dungeon.
Mm-hmm.
That dungeon
absolutely.
Is metaphoric for so many different things in our lives,
totally.
And I just keep thinking, you know, if you don't know where to start from, just go to Psalms. Because,
right.
you know, David had it down.
You
know, how to praise the Lord.
We're going there. So let's go there for a second. We'll go back to Acts 16 later. But I want to actually, so that was a great segue that you didn't even know that you were doing there.
That's funny.
I want to go to Psalms 92 a moment. And it starts out, what a beautiful thing, O God, to give thanks, to sing an anthem to you, the high God, to announce your love each daybreak, sing your faithful presence all through the night. I was caught by this, taken by this psalm early this morning, because these guys were in the middle of the night season, in the middle of the dark time of this experience. And so the psalmist says, it's so cool to announce your love each daybreak. Thank you, God, that you Amen. Love me, you know, and to sing your faithful presence all through the night, accompanied by, and it's talking about instruments, dulcimer, harp, full body music of strings. Mm-hmm. What we have now are great CDs that we can sing right. and praise God with these CDs. And then the psalmist goes on and says, you made me so happy, God. I saw your work and I shouted for joy. And he's going on and saying, it's all about learning to praise you and thank you in the midst of the storm. You know, when you were saying a minute ago about being beat up, I said to a friend of mine on the phone this past week, I just feel so beat up emotionally. As you know, Michelle, and I'm going to share more about this in a couple months, but my daughter's going through a lot of real struggles with addiction, has been for a long time, but the last couple weeks have been really tough. And just some things that have happened, which I will share at a later time. It just makes you, as a mother, just cry. I mean, literally cry, you know, and say, God, you know, what is going to happen to this young person, you know?
Well, you feel the ultimate feeling of helplessness.
And I mean, I love her so much, and she's got the call of God on her life, and yet she's been running from God for so long and doing all these drugs and getting into so much trouble. And when you're in the middle of the crisis, I can say this because I didn't even think about Lori until you were talking about being beat up and feeling so beat up. You know, in the last couple weeks since I got this last bit of news about her, there have been days that I am just feeling beat up, you know, over this, feeling mm-hmm. like, you know, well, I should have been a better mother in some way. You know, mm-hmm. I should have right. done something different, you know, et cetera. You know how the devil beats your head
yeah,
in?
Yeah, they do.
You know, but the answer here, and I've been doing it. I went to the causeway yesterday and I walked the causeway and I was just singing and praising God, regardless of what's going on in Lori. I am believing for Lori to be delivered completely Amen. Of these addictions. And she's not going to be the same person Mm-mm. that she's been.
Nope. And I'm standing in agreement with that.
And you're standing in agreement. And for those of you out there in our listening audience that know my daughter and how sweet and talented and beautiful she is when she's not using, I am claiming right now that this is going to be her year to be totally and completely Amen. Delivered.
Yes.
And so what we do in crisis situations like that, and somebody may be out there going, when you're a pastor and have a daughter, like, yes, mm-hmm. absolutely. Because addiction cuts across the lines. It's not, it is not class oriented.
Exactly.
It is not, education yeah, oriented.
Socioeconomically.
Right.
Oriented.
It's not anything like that.
No.
It's all kinds of other factors. But the bottom line is, Michelle, we've got to get this across to our audience today. Audience, you got to hear this. You got to learn to praise God in the midnight hour.
Amen.
Talk about that.
Amen. And that's why, you know, when they're talking in Psalm 92, he's talking, and your faithfulness at night, anytime you see
Amen.
Night or
yes.
darkness, those
yes.
are your tired times.
Amen.
Those dungeon times. Anytime
yes.
you see that night or darkness there, that's what it is, because the morning always comes.
Yes.
The light always comes, and that's Jesus.
Joy
Thank
comes
you, God.
In the morning.
Joy comes in the morning, and that is Jesus, and that is the light
Amen.
Of Jesus. Thank you, God. And through Jesus, he took all our sins and sicknesses.
Amen.
And that's what it's all about. But you talk about Lori, and she does have that call.
She does.
And you're going to feel like you're more attacked. And then you say, well, what's the point if I'm going to get attacked? Well, you know, first of all, God gave you that choice. Okay. I encourage, because once you get over that hump,
right.
you tell the devil to go, he will go.
Amen.
You have to believe it.
Yes.
That's how it's going to happen. And life happens.
Right.
That's what's going, the world happens.
Yes,
okay?
It does.
God doesn't make all these terrible things happen while the devil would like you to believe so. He doesn't. Life happens.
Choices.
Okay?
People's choices.
Right. And one of Selah's songs that I really love is, you know, You're My Hiding Place.
Yes.
They have a lot of great songs, but they were saying, you know, without these trials and tribulations, the song's not coming into my head right now, of course. But
that's all right.
It's talking about without these valleys and mountains,
yes,
I wouldn't know what you could do.
Yes, that's right. That's
you
it.
Know, I wouldn't know what you could do.
Amen.
If everything was just given, you know, if Pastor had this perfect little life with these perfect little children and perfect little grandchildren, you know, I honestly don't believe you would be able to.
Right.
You're incredibly anointed, and you wouldn't be able to deliver that message so authentically.
It is.
If
from
you
living
you
it.
Haven't been experiencing that, and I think that's the other thing I'm blessed with. Okay, and it's not a cop out.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't even want to hear that either, because my faith is only building, and the stronger
yes.
my faith is,
yes.
the more blessed
Amen.
I am, because
Amen.
I am claiming my blessings. I'm receiving my
yes.
blessings. And
Amen.
I'm not saying, well, I don't deserve to be financially stable. I'm like, I may not deserve it, but Jesus took my
yes.
sins and
yes.
sicknesses.
Amen.
So God could give us. He wants us
he
to
wants
prosper.
He wants us blessed. Amen.
Bless, prosper. Prosper emotionally, prosper financially,
Amen.
Prosper
Amen.
Physically, everything. So claim it. Don't let the devil tell you otherwise.
And when you get out on that limb of really increasing your faith, which is what we're all about at Beacon, you know, our slogan, where the Word of God brings healing and restoration to hurting lives. What's it all about? The Word of God.
Right.
When you get out on that limb of faith and you say, okay, God, I'm going to grow my faith. I'm going to do my part. I'm going to get in the Word. I'm going to study. I'm going to read. The devil does come and attack.
He does.
He does. That's just part of it. That's the you know,
Who's
you know
saying,
it's going to happen.
That's life. Right?
It's right.
And it is. Just accept it and pass. It's what you're going to do with that.
Exactly.
When you get hit with that, it's what are you going to do with it?
Amen.
Are you going to sit there and say, oh, I just got beat up? Or,
yes.
you know, that stinks.
That's right.
And it's, you know, it's okay to be angry.
Right.
Too. Don't. It's okay. It's okay to be angry, and it's okay to say, hey, whoa, God. Hey. What's up? I'm not down with this. I'm not feeling good.
Right, right.
You know, what is going on here?
Mm-hmm.
And that's how, you know, you don't have to know the scripture literally. Go to it and it'll start coming to you like it is
it
with
will.
Me.
Yeah.
But start talking to God like it's your, you know, your buddy.
Exactly.
You know, like, what's up?
And
I don't get this.
Absolutely.
And he'll show you.
And when we get to a point that we're in our darkest hour. You know, in some ways, in the last couple of weeks, audience, I've been in some really dark hours with my daughter. And that's just part of the last 20 years of addiction with her. But when it gets as serious as it has become, and there are huge consequences now to her actions, and there have been moments where God is impressing upon me to write her letters, and I am writing and writing and pouring out things to her. And as I am doing this, I am seeing the truths once again of God's word. And one of those is this that we are talking about today, is that when it all appears the worst, is really when we've got to praise God more and thank him for the answer before we see it.
Amen. Amen. And that's that whole faith thing of when you keep hearing, act like God's telling the truth. Act
yes.
like it.
Yes, act like it.
And, you know, I was just refreshing this page.
Yeah.
And I saw this awful oil crisis that's happening.
Yes, it's horrible. It's just
and
horrible.
That's, you know, that's the power of prayer.
Ugh.
You know, there's a tube, evidently, that's minimizing the leak, but
we've
we have
just
to start thanking them.
We've got to thank God that it's going to be contained
yes,
and taken
it's
care
be
of.
Contained.
Amen.
And, you know, and I bring that up to show you that it's the in what we think, oh, little old me getting blessed, to the large things.
Yes.
We need to pray for our leadership
Amen.
In the country. We
Amen.
Need to pray for these disasters in
yes.
the country. We need
yes.
to thank God for the leadership.
Right.
And thank God, you know, look for the silver lining in you know, this on now it's going to produce a safety, develop a safety
Yes,
plug.
Standards.
Pardon my ignorance.
Yes.
Safety standards. You know, there's
right.
those things are going to be developed because of this disaster. Yeah, it was a disaster.
Praise
it
God.
It stinks. But you know what? Thank you, Lord.
Woo!
Because we know what the result of it is going to be, more safety standards in place, more
okay.
safety pieces
Great.
In place.
Great. You and I love to do this metaphor
uh-huh.
thing and these analogies. Look at this with Paul and Silas.
Uh-huh.
That even though they got beat up, they were stripped naked, they were in chains in a a dungeon that was stinky and rotten and all of that. Yet now we are doing a radio show today about Paul and Silas.
Amen. Exactly.
And because Paul and Silas chose to praise God in the midst of that awful situation, we can sit here today and I can apply it to my daughter. And I praise God for Lori. She is anointed of God, and she will come out of this and she will be all that God has called her to be.
Amen.
And I know that because I can praise God right now before I ever see the answer.
Amen.
Listen to Station Identification. Don't you go anywhere. Call a friend. We got another whole hour of Living the Good Life because we're on 2 hours now. Don't go anywhere. Stay with us.
WTAN, Clearwater, Tampa, St. Petersburg. WDCF, Dade City, Zephyr Hills, and Wesley Chapel. And KLRG, Sheridan, Little Rock, Arkansas.
We welcome all those stations in Sheridan, Little Rock, Arkansas, Mississippi, that whole area that is now a part of this network of radio stations. If you're listening in that area, we welcome you to go check us out on beaconofhopeministries.com on the website and find out about us. We're a global ministry. I'm Pastor Marcia McAllister. With me today is my good buddy, Michelle Cardinal, who's crazier than I'll get out. Can't you tell, audience? She's just a little strange. But that's okay, right, Bill?
Maybe I'm not strange in nativity.
That's right. People say I'm strange.
And you are strange.
Thank you very much.
All right.
And I will answer, as Jim Morrison said, people are strange when you're a stranger.
But you know what? We have such a good time because we share the word and we're talking about practicalities. We're glad you joined us today on Living the Good Life from Beacon of Hope Ministries and that web address, beaconofhopeministries.com. You can be a part of our prayer team. Michelle, tell them how they can do that. What do they do? And how do they get a prayer request through? Are there any? Is there anybody in the world that cares about, let's say, little Ida Mae in Houston, Texas,
That's
who's
right.
listening right now via the web and all that? Does anybody care about Ida Mae and her aches and pains? And I don't even know an Ida Mae, but I bet there is one.
There's got to be. All the prayer warriors.
Yes.
And sometimes our prayer warriors, say that two times fast, and I can't even say it once. All of our prayer warriors pray.
Yes.
And then sometimes there's a number of us that send the prayer out to other prayer warriors.
Oh, it goes everywhere.
So it's like a wildfire.
Yeah.
Yes. You can email prayers, P-R-A-Y-E-R-S, at Beacon of Hope Ministries, IES.com, and that will go directly to the prayer leader based out of Houston, Texas.
Mm-hmm.
We got Alice and Deb, and sometimes Pastor Jim takes over a little bit. You send that, your prayer request, and we want to hear those praise reports. It's all about the praise, too, right? What we've been talking about today. Because Devil hates it when you talk about how wonderful life has been and how living the good life, really, it's contagious.
It's contagious.
Okay, so when you put your prayer request in, send a praise report as well. And that is prayers at beaconofhopeministries.com. If you want to become a prayer warrior, make that statement too. Say, hey, listen, you know, I'd like to be on the prayer list. They'll add you to the email list. And it's as simple as that. All you do is you get the prayer request, you open up your email, and you're like, blah, 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 blah.
Yeah, you
praise
pray
the Lord.
It.
Hallelujah.
Exactly.
And start thanking.
And
you
Alice
that.
Or Deb or Pastor Jim, whoever writes it, it's usually Alice. Goes ahead and writes a prayer, doesn't she?
Yes, and it's really good because of those of us who feel prayer challenged.
Right.
Praise challenge.
Yeah.
It's they say, you know, by his stripes we are healed.
Right.
You know, and there's a little bit more meat to it. And, you know, just
they quote the word.
And quote the word. And just seeing that we mentioned Catherine earlier, you know, she said, you know, pray with me that the funding comes in for this conference, and everybody's
like,
last
Sunday.
Right, exactly. And it comes out, you know what? God, the scripture was put there saying, you know, it is written here.
We agreed with her last Sunday.
That it's written that you want us to prosper, everything hunky-dory, and it came through.
And she had it Monday. She had the approval.
Yeah. So,
and it's huge, you know, and we are seeing those kind of answers to prayer. Little Jeannie has been through so much and very ill, but she has last two Sundays, she said, I'm going to church. So I'm going by and picking her up, getting her wheelchair and her oxygen tank. And you can believe what she ate at lunch, a whole plate of two biscuits and brown gravy, sausage gravy.
Uh-huh.
Just
love
a whole big
stuff.
A whole big plate of it.
She's a Mississippi girl, so y'all out in Mississippi know exactly what she's talking about. She needed some good rib sticking food.
Right, she did, and she ate the mm-hmm. whole thing, you know? Mm-hmm. She called me the other night. I was out showing homes, and she said, can you go get me a taco? It's like 7:30 at night, you know? She's hungry. So, I mean, she hasn't had an appetite, so we thank God that he's doing things in her.
Right.
And for all of you listening that have prayer requests, we want you to send your request to prayers@beaconofhopeministries.com. You don't have to go to our church in Clearwater to be a part of the prayer team. This is a global prayer initiative, and we want you to join us. We've got people from so many different states on that prayer team that don't come to church in Clearwater with us.
Do we have somebody in Seattle even? Is that our furthest one?
I think so.
Or we got a prayer request from Seattle.
Yeah,
we have people
recently.
In Indiana.
Yeah.
We have people in Massachusetts. We have
Texas,
people in Georgia. We have
Arizona.
People in Texas. I'm sure we have people in
Arkansas. Yes, Mississippi. Georgia.
Mm-hmm.
So it's spreading. And we thank God for that, because that's what the ministry is all about.
Right.
You have a need. Let us know it. We want to pray with you. And that's what it's about.
Right.
If somebody wants to be a business partner with Beacon of Hope Ministries, we would love for them to do that. And they can go to our website, beaconofhopeministries.com, and donate financially. Why would anybody want to donate, Michelle?
Keep us on air. That's big, the
We're
big
in our
one
fourth
right there.
Year. We're in our fourth year.
And it comes from a lot of people.
Yes, it does.
From around the world, not just our folks here in Clearwater. We have a lot
right.
of people. You go to our website, we use PayPal, and you go ahead, pop in a couple bucks there, and that's your tithing.
Yes, do it.
And I will tell you, I can testify to this.
Yes.
When you tithe, it comes back.
Amen.
It does. My business has been flourishing.
Absolutely,
I mean,
flourishing.
It's a true blessing.
And, well, that's the thing that God says in the Word in Malachi chapter 3, 8 through 11, to test me in this and see if I will not open the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing so big you can hardly contain it. And that's what Malachi 3, 8 to 11 says. God said that. If you don't have to take my word for it, you can go to Malachi 3, 8 through 11.
Mm-hmm.
Malachi's last book of the Old Testament. And that's what God says. Test me now in this and watch and see what I do. So it's pretty cool. Our website is really beautiful. We revamped it a few months back, didn't we, Michelle? And
mm-hmm.
I love it. It's gorgeous. New
it
header,
is.
New everything on it. There's actually a warning label at the bottom of the homepage.
It is. I love it.
And what does it say there? Warning something about...
Yeah, it's warning. Tuning in could change your life.
Yeah, to the radio show. Tuning in could change your life. So we're glad you've joined us today on Living the Good Life. Michelle, let's talk more about this. Let's go. If you have your Bibles, go with us back to Acts 16 a moment, and then we're going to go back to Psalms. So you want to be in two places. In Acts chapter 16, we said that about the midnight hour, now we're at about verse 25 to 26, Paul and Silas were at prayer, and they were singing a robust hymn to God. Then something suddenly happened, Michelle. Now, I mean, for our listening audience, why do we say suddenly? I mean, God uses that word over and over again to describe what he does.
I think the biggest thing that means is, you know, God can do anything at any time. So,
amen.
And this is what I did weave into my sermon last week, but a part of it is we are the ones who put limitations on
yes.
God. So suddenly,
right.
God can bless you.
Yes.
He can do it anytime.
Right.
But suddenly, and it's in his time, and it's
Amen.
His timing, because
yes.
he knows the greater plan.
Exactly. And suddenly the earthquake hits, the jail, all the doors are wide open. And that is a great segue to this song by Amy Grant, Better Than a Hallelujah. Don't go anywhere. Stay with us on Beacon of Hope Ministries, Living the Good Life.
God loves a lullaby in a mother's tears in the dead of night. Better than a hallelujah. God loves a drunkard's cry, the soldier's plea not to let him die. Better than a hallelujah sometimes. We pour out
just hears a melody. Beautiful the mess we are, the honest cries of breaking hearts.
Ooh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. We're talking today on Living the Good Life about praising God. Go with us to Psalm 95. And the psalmist says this, come, let's shout praises to God. A lot of us didn't grow up in churches where they shouted, Michelle.
Shout.
But we do shout at ball games, right?
Yeah, we do.
But it's hard for a lot of people to shout in church.
Yeah, they're afraid they're going to get looked at funny
or
something.
Yeah. Now, when Connie's at church, she does those woo stuff. Woo. And, yeah, praising God. When she gets blessed, you can just tell.
Mm-hmm.
And I've heard a few others. It's contagious when Connie does that. Come, let's shout praises to God. Raise the roof for the rock who saved us.
Amen, the rock.
Woo. Amen, Jesus. I want you to read. Why don't you read down through verse 7 in your translation? Start at the verse 1 of Psalm 95.
Come, let us sing for joy to the Lord. Let us shout out loud to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before him with thanksgiving and extol him with music and song. For the Lord is the great God, the great King above all gods. In his hand are the depths of the earth, and the mountain peaks belong to him. The sea is his, for he made it, and his hands formed the dry land. Come, let us bow down in worship. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker, for he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture and flock under his care.
Oh, I love that. I mean... The psalmist is saying, look, we got to do this. We got to come before God with shouting and praises. And that's what Paul and Silas were doing.
Mm-hmm.
You can't tell me for a minute they were just kind of praying half awake and half asleep.
Mm-mm. No.
You know, when I do that, try that. I'm just admitting to you, when I start trying to pray and I'm half with it, you know, pretty soon I'm totally out of it.
Uh-huh.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I've done that too.
You know, and you got good intentions. I'm just going to lay here and pray a minute. You know, and you wake up an hour later. What happened? You know, because, you know, the devil doesn't want you laying there being wide awake and praising God. Here's a good way to stay awake when you're praying. Start singing.
Uh-huh.
It's real hard to sing and sleep at the same time.
And it's true, because when I'm walking and I start singing louder.
Yes.
And I need to be a little bit. You actually mentioned it today when you were walking on the causeway and you're singing.
I was yesterday.
And you realize you were singing louder than you realize because somebody saw you.
Yes.
And that's kind of what you do, and you get so consumed and la la la. Oh, Lord God, you're an awesome God. That's one of my
favorite
songs.
Right. Oh, I love that song.
That's it.
Yes.
It's in the name, right?
Yes.
And you just get so consumed with it, you just don't realize how loud you're singing. And I think that's what the thing is what I thought of when you were just talking about how Paul and Silas were doing that.
Yes.
That's what God's looking for, those with a heart after
Amen. Second Chronicles 16:9. His eyes go all over the earth looking for people whose heart is completely his.
He's not looking for people who have the mansion on the beach unless they have a heart for him.
Exactly.
He's not looking for, you know, a guy that's, you know, homeless, sleeping on the street unless he has a heart for
him.
It doesn't matter who, what, when, where you are. It matters is what your heart is about.
Oh, absolutely. It's all about your heart. And I love the beginning of verse 3, and it says, why should we do this? Why? I mean, in the Message Bible, it says, let's march into his presence singing praises, lifting the rafters with our hymns. I mean, this is the robust singing that Paul and Silas were doing, Michelle. This is not the little kind of singing. This is with it singing.
Yeah.
You know?
Like they believe God's going to free them.
Exactly. I mean, just praise God, you know. And why? This is verse 3 of Psalm 95. And why? Because God is the best.
Mm-hmm.
High King above over all the gods. No. Sorry.
We were wondering who you were on the phone with. We didn't know if it was
Catherine. Is Catherine there? All right. No, we weren't Hey, Catherine, we got our signals crossed. How are you, girl?
No, that was just the music to bring Catherine in with.
Oh, yeah, that was the music for intro for Catherine.
That's right.
Yes.
You guys can hear me okay?
We can hear you now. Can you hear us okay?
Yep.
Yeah. Okay, Catherine, you know what we've been talking about. We've been talking about praising God even though you don't feel like it.
That's right. You don't feel like it, but you got to do it anyway.
Why? Why do you have to do this? Because I just read this in Psalm 95. And why? Why do we praise God? Why do we make ourselves, when we don't feel like it, Catherine, praise God? Talk to us.
Because you will have something positive come out of doing that.
Are you sure?
Do you think that Paul and Silas, after they just were flogged, felt like singing and praising God?
I don't think they felt like it at all.
No.
In the natural.
No. I think they were physically in extreme pain.
Yeah.
I mean, you were talking about, I forget the word you used, I think shackles around their ankles.
Mm-hmm.
And in my version of the Bible, I was reading along with you this morning, and it said another word for the same thing, but I don't have my Bible in front of me, something like shocks
it was stocks.
Like shackles, but it was a different version. And I looked up
right.
the meaning of that, and it said that they were not only used to restrain a prisoner, but they were also used as a form of torture.
Yes.
So they had, you know, spikes on them or some type of uncomfortable, you know, metal that was actually causing them torture as
uh-huh.
well as keeping them from escaping. And I mean, that was so powerful when we talked about that today, because I can't think of a situation where you wouldn't want to be praising any more than that one. I mean,
exactly.
They had just gotten, you know, beaten, flogged. They're in these torturous shackles around their legs.
Yeah.
And what are they doing? They're singing and praising. And it just kind of blew me away. Made me realize, oh, yeah, you might be tired and you don't feel like praising, but have you ever had shackles on your legs and were beaten to death and like that, you know, beaten like that?
Right.
So I have no reason to think that I'm too tired to pray.
Exactly. But we come up with all these excuses, don't we, Catherine? And Michelle,
yes,
jump in here
do.
Anytime you want to. But we do. We come up with all kinds of excuses why we can't praise God. Give me some examples, either one of you or both of you, of what goes through our heads when we know we should be praising God and thanking Him that He has the answer, but we just don't feel like it.
Yeah, it's, you know, it could be so many things. Physical exhaustion.
Yeah.
It could be you keep your schedule so busy you don't allow yourself time to do that.
Right.
You know, you're too busy watching TV, being on the internet.
Right.
You know, out with your friends, you know, just keeping real busy so you don't actually take the time to do it, I think is a big one.
Oh, I totally agree. Michelle, what do you think?
Yeah, I think that's key. What I think is important, and trust me, I'm those are all my excuses. Catherine just pretty much named all
Catherine,
my excuses.
Catherine, you just read her excuses.
Uh-huh. And she obviously took my notes. But my thought,
I guess another big one, don't you think, is that people don't really think He's listening, so they don't think it's a worthwhile way to spend your time because they don't really believe that.
I think that's huge.
That's true. Yeah.
He's
I think
listening
that's true.
To them, you know?
Exactly. Yeah.
I do. And, you know, I might be putting the cart ahead of the horse here, but I feel the same way. And I have been feeling that way. You know, I'm tired. I have other things to do. I'm busy. And I honestly have said, God, I just don't feel like it right now.
Right. Exactly.
I mean, I really have said that. I look at this prayer book that I have and I'm like, oh, I just don't feel like it right now. You know, because it's just, I'm physically exhausted. My mind is just spent. And, I took some advice somebody had suggested is putting a 3 o'clock alarm on my phone. And it's funny, Catherine went off with
that
Catherine.
That has been working for you, hasn't it?
It has.
Me too.
We were driving in the car yesterday, and Catherine's like, What is that? Because it's walk the dog, and it's like, ow, 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 at 3 o'clock. And it really intrigues Henry, too. He feels like I have somebody, another pup hidden on him. But
yeah, do that to my phone. I'd like to have a barking dog on mine at 3.
And it makes me, and it's what you had said. Pastor Marcia had actually suggested it because she had forgotten to take this alarm off. And it forces you like, oh, 3 o'clock. Why is that alarm going? Oh, I'm going to pray for a second.
Right.
I mean, and literally, it's been like a quick, hey, God, you know, I'm listening, you know, thank you. I just want you to know I'm thinking about you. Thank you. But I got to do this, though, right now. I mean, at least it's for a second.
Exactly.
And then it evolves into
it
more.
Worked. It had me do it, too. And it was, you know, it's like, you know, it's so simple when you think it's taking, you know, all of a minute or two to
right.
say a few praises.
Right.
Catherine, I want to ask you a question. You're a tennis player. You're a champion.
Right.
You played with Martina Navratilova, whatever her name is.
I wish.
Okay. But you play tennis, and you play tournaments, and you do all this stuff. Now, when you are sitting at home thinking, I am so tired, I don't know if I can go play, right? Has that ever happened to you before you went? Has that ever happened to you?
It never has happened for a match because I'm really geared up to play a match. But
okay.
for just practice.
For practice. Okay, let's say practice for a lesson.
I have a long day at work. I'll
right.
come home and I'll say, the last thing I want to do now is put my tennis stuff on and go to tennis clinic.
Okay. Now, when you do it anyway and you make yourself go, okay, and you get there and you start hitting the ball. I can tell you from playing golf that when I hit a good shot,
uh-huh.
it's been a while, but there's that sweet that sweet feeling, you know,
yep.
when that shot just,
yep.
oh, my. And you can't describe that to anybody.
No, and it's a sound, too.
It's a sound, you know, and it's like, ooh,
yeah,
you know.
I love it.
Catherine, describe what happens when you have made yourself go, and now you're standing out there and the ball's coming towards you, and you take your racket and you swing at it, you hit it, and you have a good shot. What happens?
Oh, immediately I'm like, all the stress in my body's relieved. I say, how could I have not wanted to be
one.
Here? This is the most awesome thing. Look how
mm-hmm.
good I'm hitting.
Uh-huh.
I'm hitting so well. This is going to make me win my match on Saturday. All because I made it to practice, and it's just great. It's an awesome feeling.
So what happens is you know in your head this is good for you to do, but you're not really feeling like it, but you go ahead and you do it. And the minute you begin to do it, something changes within you and it takes you to a different place, correct?
Right.
And it's no longer work.
No. It actually becomes fun.
Uh-huh. It becomes fun.
Yeah. And I think it's the same thing probably for Bible study or
yes.
Church on Sunday. You know, I'm sure people get up and they think, oh, you know, I was out late last night or whatever. Do I want to get up and go? And it's, you know, you're dragging.
Right.
But I've had people say this to me at our Sunday service. They're just so happy they made it and so glad they did it because
yes.
they've got, you know, reinforced. They had their faith renewed. They can start the week feeling positive. And they're always glad that they made it.
Isn't that true? Don't you think that's what happened to Paul and Silas? They may have been feeling pretty crummy, but around midnight, we don't know what happened in between the time they got into the dungeon, you know. But at around midnight, what were they doing? They were praying and they were praising and singing from the top or the bottom of their lungs, you know, just letting
yeah.
it pour out. Now, we got to go to the song. Can you stay with us a little bit longer, Catherine?
Yeah.
Okay, stay
yeah.
with us and listen to this song, All of Creation by Mercy Me.
Captivated. Zion's land his glory resides.
God, it's all about praising God.
Amen.
It's all about praising God. That was a good song. You are listening to Living the Good Life from Beacon of Hope Ministries. We're located in Clearwater, Florida, and you're welcome to come to Bible study Wednesday night. Catherine, are you still there?
I'm still here.
You are a big proponent of Bible study. Would you tell our audience what happens and why you like to come?
I'd love to, because you know, we've all been a part of different types of churches, different types of Christian background, from
right.
Catholic to Presbyterian to Episcopal
right.
to Baptist.
Yeah.
And some of those, you know, everyone would acknowledge the Bible that are part of those different backgrounds, but a lot of them don't stress really getting into the Bible, reading it, and studying it.
Yes.
And that, to me, is what has really made me grown closer to God, is really understanding the Word and seeing different layers of meaning in the Word.
Right.
And growing up, I grew up Roman Catholic. I never, you know, was exposed to that at all.
Right.
So I found when I started getting into Bible studies that it was really something that grew my faith.
Uh-huh.
Exponentially.
Right.
You know, there's different ways, there's different layers of meaning and some themes, recurring themes that keep coming up.
Amen.
Over and over again. And when you're studying the Bible and different chapters and you're hearing some of those same themes reinforced, it just really made it real for me. It made me want to live it and want to keep studying and keep getting more knowledge.
Amen.
So it's wonderful. I mean, Sunday services are great in a different way,
yeah,
you know, by a lot of
different
praising and music. But the
right.
Bible study, I think, is key to anybody's growth.
I agree.
Anybody that wants to grow their faith and really, you know, learn why they believe what they do and why they should believe what they do, I think the Bible study is critical.
Amen. I appreciate you saying that. I just love teaching the Bible study. It's like you say, there's two different services, you know, the
yeah.
Sunday morning with the worship, but Bible study is so much fun. We just let people interact and talk and set up tables and bring your Bible notebook and bring your dinner if you get off work late, and
that's
we start
right.
at 7, and it's great. But Catherine, that's a perfect segue into what really happened here when Paul and Silas began to praise God. Because when they began to praise God and sing, suddenly something happened. Michelle, what happened? What happened? What happened? Tell us.
A ginormous earthquake came
about. I don't know how you spell that, but a ginormous earthquake came and did what?
Flung open all the doors.
All the doors.
Opened up the stocks, freed all the prisoners.
Whoa. I mean, wow.
Suddenly.
When that happened, now the jailer runs inside with a torch. Now he's all shaken up because he knows he's supposed to be guarding these really dangerous criminals that are in the dungeon. And so he says, you know what? I think I'll just kill myself now, you know? And Paul says, because he knew he was going to have his head chopped off for letting these guys go loose. And Paul says, wait a minute. We didn't go anywhere. We're just sitting here. Isn't that cool?
I think that
is
really...
And evidently, the other prisoners were just sitting there, too.
Evidently, yes. They were just sitting there. But what did this do? This just got to a point where something... this action demanded action. You know what I'm saying? An earthquake of that magnitude where now... all the doors are flying open and everybody could just get out and walk out, demanded something to happen, okay? And so what happens? The jailer runs in there and he falls down in front of Paul and Silas. Now, he's been listening to the songs and the prayer going up and the praises.
Yeah.
They all have. Don't you think, Catherine?
I think so, yeah.
And what does he ask? Do you see what he asks right here? We're in Acts 16:29. He says, "Sirs, what do I have to do to be saved, to really live?" And Paul says, "Well, you got to be perfect, you know. You got to never have done this and never have done that and never have done that." And,
no.
And right.
I don't have my Bible in front of me, but even I know that's wrong.
Oh, my. Michelle, why don't you read 29 to 31 for us and let the people in on what really happened?
And as you said, the jailer... The jailer called for the lights, rushed and fell trembling before Paul and Silas. He then brought them out and asked, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?"
Yes.
And they replied, "Believe.
Believe.
Believe in the Lord Jesus and you will be saved."
Yes.
"You and your household."
Woo.
That's it.
Crazy
talk, huh?
Crazy talk.
Oh, my goodness. That's all I
have to do. Can't be that simple. Believe.
Is believe Jesus has died for me. He is my Savior. That's it?
Believe it.
You believed it. That's all you do. Is you believe it and you will be saved.
Well, and then in verse 32, Paul goes on to spell out in detail the story of the master. The entire family got in on this. And they didn't even
I
go
guess
to bed.
They must have wanted what they saw Paul and Silas had.
Explain that, Catherine. What do you mean they saw what they had?
They must have, well... I would imagine that when the earthquake came, they were aware of what was going on enough to say, okay, these men were singing praises and something happened.
So they recognized this huge event as being from God. Is that what you're saying?
I think they connected it, yeah.
I think they did. They connected the dots. They had to. Or the jailer would never run in and going, "What do I have to do to get saved?"
Yeah, I'm thinking the jailer probably wasn't too keen on, "Hey, so how do you get a great place like this, this dungeon thing? And where'd you get those stocks? Those look pretty sexy." You know, I mean, obviously, and I agree with what you all have already said, is that he had to have been listening. If, you know, if they are singing that robustly and that
robustly
full of life, and then, like I said, I really can't believe that those other prisoners weren't singing. I'm sure they just got something sucked into it, and they all were singing. So it was loud and really clear and powerful. And they probably were listening to those words.
Yes.
And it was just getting on the insides of them. And then they probably were just as, like, what we talked about earlier, he was startled out of his sleep, metaphorically.
Yeah. Right.
You know, you're consumed in the way of the world. You're doing what you have to do. You're going through the motions.
You're sleeping kind of spiritually. Spiritually sleeping.
Yeah, and then you hear this powerful prayer, and then what comes immediately afterwards, I want to have some of that.
I want that. Mm-hmm. That earthquake event.
Yeah.
Catherine, I think that I'm just asking you a question. Do you think that a lot of Christians, that about the only time they sing praises is on Sunday morning when they open the hymnal and do the first, second, and fourth verse of number 250 or whatever?
I think probably that's right, you know?
Yeah. I think so, too.
I think that that's what they're used to. That's what they're comfortable with.
Right. And as a result of that, there's no breakthrough. You know, I mean, I would think in so many instances when we are just singing a song, maybe that we've memorized or whatever, and that it's not doing something in our heart, that it is not a suddenly moment, you know, it's not changing us. I think that's where a lot of people are when it comes to praise. Catherine, do you, didn't you, I mean, you've already admitted you grew up in a Catholic church, but you did not hear people saying, all right, now we're all going to praise God together, right? That just didn't happen, did it?
No. No, and it didn't, you know, it kind of, you've taught this, but the story today made me think of this, too. The way they were singing and praising was they were acting, their actions were backing up their belief.
Right.
Okay.
You know what
it
I'm
is.
Saying?
Yeah.
Yes.
You know, they were in pain. They just went through a horrific event. Yet they were singing and praising because they believed so much in what God could do.
Right.
You know, their actions, the way they conducted themselves. A lot of us that grew up in, you know, not a environment that has Bible study, you know, you sit, kneel, stand, you go through.
Yeah.
Nothing wrong with, what's the word? The routine of
right.
a service. Nothing
sure.
wrong with that. Some
right.
people really are comfortable with that.
Right.
But, you know, it's not, I think God wants to see us act like we believe that he can give us abundant blessings.
Amen.
Like he can, solve a problem.
Absolutely.
I think he wants us to act well, first of all, you do believe. You have to start off believing. But I think you have to act on that and conduct yourself
yes.
like you're trusting in him to make that happen. And I think that's kind of where a line's drawn sometimes.
Good point.
With people.
Yes.
And obviously Paul and Silas didn't hesitate to sing and praise because that's how strong their faith was.
Exactly.
And I think that's why probably the earthquake happened, because God was acknowledging their strong belief. He was acknowledging their actions. And, you know, something happened because of that.
Why an earthquake? I'm going to give you my opinion. You guys can. Why an earthquake? Because when have we heard about an earthquake recently? We just came through Resurrection Easter Sunday, remember?
Mm-hmm.
Where have we heard about the earthquake? When did God show himself strong and use an earthquake? Right at 3 o'clock on Wednesday,
yes.
the day, the moment that
yep.
Jesus gave up his spirit
yep.
and died physically.
Uh-huh.
There, it said the earth began to shake and
right,
tremble,
yeah.
and the whole town, it says that the tabernacle, the temple, began to break up.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
yeah.
big stones were falling out. People, the graves were opening, right? And people
right,
were walking
right.
out of their graves.
Yes.
And I mean, the earthquake was a huge demonstration of the power of
yes.
God, you know?
Yep, and when he finally released
right.
Jesus and
right.
he ascended.
Look at, I mean, earthquake. Okay, so here we see again that God uses an earthquake, and it totally opens all these doors, these prison doors, and now people have choices to make. Do I get up and leave the bondage I've been in, or do I just sit here in the dungeon because I'm kind of getting used to it, kind of getting used to the smells around here, and I don't mind it. I think I'll just stay here. You know,
yeah,
or do we get up when God moves in our lives? Do we see God moving? Do we see the suddenly moments?
Unfortunately, not all the time, but the closer you get and the more you praise.
Yes.
The more
yes.
accustomed you are. There's that suddenly moment again.
There's that suddenly moment because
yeah.
we can almost sleep through them.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
Catherine, do you have a comment on that?
Yeah, I think we can not only sleep through them, I think we can miss them all together if we're not looking for them.
Right. Yes.
Yeah.
you know, when God sovereignly moves and things come together and suddenly you've had a job change and miraculously things have happened, or something has happened in your finances or your personal life or whatever. And here's my point I'm trying to make. I'm just going to tell you what it is. Okay. When we see God move like this, we need to be praising all the more.
Right.
And we need to understand, and I'm going to throw this out, the power of praise. Praise is so powerful that it will change our lives. Praise caused God to move in their situation. As they praised, God heard it. In other words, here's what I'm saying. God loves the praises of his people.
Amen. Amen.
Yeah.
And you
Woo!
Know what else it follows is their faith builders.
Yes.
Because anytime, you said it this morning, you say it in Bible study, we'll say it on air, anytime you hear a praise report.
Oh, what does it do?
You're like, never mind the fact, like, I need to get some prayer because I'm going to get a praise. I'm going to come back with a praise report. I'm going to be blessed. I'm going to claim that.
Right.
And it's a faith builder.
Yes.
And it continues to build your faith the more. And then you saw it this morning.
Yes.
You said, like, hey, anybody have any praise reports?
It started all around the room.
Well, at first, nobody said anything.
Nobody said a word. And then somebody said, wait a minute.
Da-da-da-da-da. And then, bam, bam, bam. It was like a domino's effect. Oh, I have something to pray about. A praise report. I have a praise report. And then some of us had two or three of them.
Exactly.
And you know, the glory that God receives glorifies him.
Yes.
Which, you know, he has a big old smile on his face going, that's what I'm talking
about. That's what I'm talking about. You know, one of the things that happened at the end of the service last Sunday was God was giving me word of knowledge, which is a spiritual gift where he shows what I hear. I just hear it in my spirit that, and one of these was that somebody was having this problem in the ear, mm-hmm. and it was causing them to be kind of vertigo, kind of dizzy and having problems. Well, the first praise report that spoke up this morning was that person, because that person came up for prayer and said, that's me. I have that problem. This was last Sunday, mm-hmm. right? And then domino just went from one thing to another, and people were starting to get healed around the room. That person started that praise thing today and said, wait a minute, that happened to me. Remember last week when you called that thing out?
Mm-hmm.
Now, see, God's not going to put it in the heart of an evangelist or a pastor to call something out like that if he's not going to heal it.
Exactly.
That's just a waste of time,
right?
You know?
Yeah.
And Catherine, you remember last Sunday, it was just happening all over the room.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. It was. And like Michelle was saying, it's good for all of us to hear that. It's positive.
Yes.
And just like Paul and Silas, obviously God was listening to that, because then there was a big, you know, natural event, you know, the earthquake that happened. So I'm thinking he heard them praising, and he loves to hear us praising.
That's it.
And it gets his attention.
You are so right. And that reminds me of a verse, Catherine, in the book of Hebrews, and it's Hebrews 13, verse 15. I do believe, but I don't have it marked here. Let me see. I think it's there where it says that God inhabits the praises of his people, basically. Maybe I'm in the wrong location, but God loves our praises. And when we start doing that and start praising him, everything changes. It all changes. Woo. So, Catherine, where do we go from here in our daily lives? Tell the people before we go to this last song. What happens?
Start praising God, and
Amen.
You will be rewarded abundantly.
Amen. Start praising God. And don't just praise God wimpily, but praise him heftily, robustly.
Yeah.
Woo! Catherine, it was a joy having you on today. We're going to go to this last song, and we'll see you another time.
Thank you. I enjoyed
it. God bless you. Talk to you later.
Bye.
Top of My Lungs, which Michelle and I were laughing about this because Connie had no idea our discussion was going to do this today. She didn't know what I was. And so here's the song she put on by Phillips, Craig, and Dean, Top of My Lungs. Let's praise God from the top of our lungs.
Amen.
Thank you. thoughts to express are so many. Wanna bless you, God. Can't be silent. I think of the mercies you show me. My lips began overflowing. Great is your love. Such gratitude for all that you do, Jesus, to you.
Living the Good Life, Beacon of Hope Ministries. Michelle, when you've been in relationships, and a lot of us have been married at least once or twice or something like that, or just in a relationship, and you're working around the house and you think, oh, you know, the house really needs to be clean. Now, I live alone, so, I mean, nobody notices it but me, you know, but
Zoe
my doggies do. Yeah,
Zoe
and Bailey. Yeah, they like a clean house. But, you know, I love to mop, and I've got a lot of tiles, so I mop and I clean. Yeah, nobody notices, but that's okay. I mean, I do it. But when you're in a relationship, okay, and let's say you come home and you think, man, this floor needs to be mopped. I'm going to do it. Okay? And you mop and you clean. You say, well, while I'm mopping, I'm doing the bathrooms. And while I'm doing the bathrooms, I'm changing the sheets. And while I'm changing the sheets, I think I'll dust everything. You know what I'm saying?
Yes, I do. And Catherine's probably out there going, I bet she made her say that.
No, but when you do all that, and if nobody recognizes it, now it's one thing if you live alone, but if you live with somebody and they don't recognize it, how do you feel?
Well, you know, I can speak. Really, it really does affect me.
It does?
It really hurts my feelings.
Okay.
If I'm not acknowledged for things I do.
Okay.
A lot of people don't realize how needy I am, and I'm not needy to certain people.
And we're going to pray for you, my friend.
But, you know, when it comes to in
you
a relationship,
you want to be acknowledged, right?
I want to be acknowledged. I really do, and I want to just be appreciated and say, hey, you know, just like when I make breakfasts and lunches and pack the lunches.
Yeah, sure. Right.
And it's like, hey, you know, I really enjoyed that sandwich. It was yummy or whatever. It makes
you
me
be
feel
thanked.
Good. Yeah.
You want to be thanked.
I always want to be thanked.
You always do.
I always do.
Okay. God created us that way. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Now, he is the author of who we are.
Right.
Okay. We are created in his image. Okay. So if we like to be thanked, what do you think about him? Do you think he likes to be thanked? No, he doesn't care.
He's, you know, he's the parent. He doesn't need that sort of thing, right?
But he does,
doesn't he? I totally agree. And I'm not kidding when I think, because you know what?
This that analogy just came to me as we were in that
and
song.
And it's a great analogy because here's the thing. I don't even know if this is a word, but it perpetuates. Is that,
perpetuates is a word,
does it keep going
yes.
back and forth?
It does.
Because when I'm thanking him, I actually think he's smiling and saying, I knew you could do it, kid. And, you know, when I think of him having that response, it makes
yes.
me feel good that I just made
right.
him feel good. And then
right.
he feels good that I just realized that I made him feel good. You know what I'm saying? So it's
yes.
just another thing that
just
escalates. It just keeps going.
Think
going,
of our
going.
Doggies, my Bailey and Zoe and your Henry Nivens. Okay. Henry Nivens loves to be praised when he does something good.
he does
he not?
He does.
He's the cutest
stuff.
Little thing. Yeah. Cutest miniature schnauzer, whatever
uh-huh.
he is. Yeah.
Yep.
And he just loves, I mean, our doggies love to be praised.
Oh,
that was good, you know,
yes.
good potty, you know, mm-hmm. whatever. All right. So
uh-huh.
they do something good and we are excited. That makes them want to do something good again.
Right.
Okay. God is like us in that he wants to be praised for the things he's doing
mm-hmm.
in our lives. He wants us to see them for what they are. And Paul and Silas knew to praise God in the midst of the struggle, in the midst of the problem, to thank him for who he was.
Right.
Now, they may not. Some people, well, I can't thank him because I've got this disease in my body. You may not thank God for the disease. Satan put the disease on you. I mean, who put them in leg irons and in the dungeon? It was not God.
No.
Okay.
Exactly.
It was the bad people, the bad
right.
guys, the crowd mentality, the bad guys.
Exactly.
Okay. But in the midst of that, they could still thank God and praise God for who he was, not necessarily thank him that they were in a mess.
Right.
However, the more you grow in God, you begin to thank him because you know he's going to turn that thing around.
Amen. That's exactly what I was thinking.
Ooh,
for this too,
girl.
Is because it all goes back to what I was saying earlier. You have to act like he's telling the truth. It is written.
Amen.
He wants us all to prosper physically,
yes.
mentally, healthy, all
yes.
that stuff. So if you have this disease put on by Satan,
right.
you are thanking him because you know he's going to heal you.
Amen.
However that healing may be, obviously,
right.
No medical, whatever, everything, financially. But, you know, he knows if you believe him or not.
Right.
Okay? So that's the key to this.
He knows your heart.
He knows your heart. And that's, the more you thank him,
yes.
and, you know, I'm telling you, it makes me, I feel good.
Amen.
When I'm praising him.
Yes.
I really do. And I have those times, and it's hard.
Yeah.
When you just feel just beaten up.
Right.
And you're not feeling much like praising anybody. In fact, you feel like doing the opposite and lashing out.
Feeling sorry for yourself
yeah.
and self-pity and all that junk.
And I've even started out my prayers with, God, I really don't know what to say to you right now. I'm just,
yeah. So beat up.
I know I'm thankful that I have a beautiful home, a lovely family. So,
right.
You know, once you start going that route.
Right. It changes everything, doesn't
it? It does.
Because we begin to see things the way God sees it.
Right.
And even though the trial seems so hard right then, God always promises that
mm-hmm.
something good. Romans 8:28 is one of my favorite
mm-hmm.
verses, and we know that God causes all things to work together for
uh-huh.
good to those who love God and are called according to his purpose. And so if we know that, then, okay, we're sitting there in the dungeon, and it's smelly, and we have leg irons on, and yet we know, because we're Paul and Silas.
Right.
Okay, you and me.
Mm-hmm.
Right now, we're in the dungeon, but we know. God, what is God going to do? And so what happens is, Michelle, we begin to develop an attitude of expectancy.
Uh-huh. Exactly.
You know, we love to be surprised.
Yes.
It's another S. We were talking about S's this morning.
Uh-huh.
You know, we love to be surprised. You know, at Christmas, when you're a little kid and the presents are under
mm-hmm.
the tree, you can't wait to see what your surprises
right.
are. Right?
Yes.
You know, I'm going to bring you a surprise. I say to my dogs all the time, you be good, you be quiet. And when I come back, I'll bring you a surprise. Well, the surprise is this little milk bone treat that's in their little can. And they get so excited.
Exactly. Because they know it's coming.
Yeah. And when, you know, and I go towards the can and they start running to go to my place in the office where they like to get their treat.
Uh-huh.
You know, they're expecting it. Okay? We have got to get to a place, and I'm sounding preachy here, but I'm telling you, it's just welling up in me. People out there, you got to get to a place where you expect. Mm-hmm. You expect. So you can go ahead and praise God because you know God's going to turn this mess around.
Exactly.
He is going to turn it around and he's going to bless your socks off. That's why Michelle and I, neither one, have socks on
They've
in the studio right
off.
Now. They've already been blessed off. Nope, we have no socks. So anyway, all right, give me your final thoughts. We're getting close here, Michelle. So let's wrap this up somehow. We gotta praise God with an attitude of expectancy, waiting for the surprise.
I think you just wrapped it up there. I mean, that is rhema word, what you just did.
Yeah.
And, you know, the Holy Spirit has fallen and consumed us right here in the studio today. And I hope you all out there in the listening audience has felt the same thing. Because once we get to that place of expectancy, it's just like every Christmas or birthday, you are expecting a gift.
Yes.
We know how to expect a gift. So let's do it with God.
Amen.
That summed it up perfectly. Because, you know, we are lied to by the devil saying,
yes,
who do you think you are expecting all? I am God's child. That's
exactly
who I am.
Exactly.
And he's given me the present of blessings every single day.
Woo.
Every time I've asked him. And I'm receiving it. I'm receiving them.
So we begin to praise God, no matter
Hallelujah.
If we're at the midnight hour,
Amen.
And it's a nasty, nasty thing that's happened,
right.
And we got cuts and bruises all over us, emotionally or physically or whatever it may be. And instead of sitting there and let's count, can you imagine Paul and Silas going, oh, look at that one on your arm. That's really bad. It's going to be infected any minute now,
right.
You know? And Paul going, you think that's bad? You should see your leg, buddy.
That's
you
right.
can't see the back of your leg, and it's all wide open, you know? And instead of doing that,
mm-hmm.
which we tend to do, we commiserate with each other.
Yep.
I don't even know how to spell that.
Well,
but we do.
Miseries.
In our miseries, you know, to play top that.
That's right.
Awful story.
You think you hurt. My shoulder, elbow, knee, back. Yeah.
But
I totally
that's
agree.
Our human nature.
It is.
And God says, don't do that. Don't do that. Don't play that game.
Mm-hmm.
Don't play that game. Get out of the misery. Get out of feeling sorry for yourself.
Yep.
And this is a rhema word to all
Amen.
Of you listening today. Get out of feeling sorry for yourself.
That's right.
Put it away and start praising God for the answers and thank him for them before you ever see those answers.
Amen and hallelujah. And we thank you, Lord. We
That's
praise
it.
You. We exalt you. The
Amen.
Glory is yours.
Woo.
And thank you for all our blessings.
May God bless you, listening audience. From this rhema word this day, I agree with you, Michelle. The anointing was extremely strong in this studio today. So whatever your need is, go to God right now.
Amen.
There are some right now that have physical problems. God says you're healed. Start claiming it. Start walking in it. Start finding the verses in the word. If you want verses to stand on, email me at pastor@beaconofhopeministries.com and I'll send them to you. There are some of you right now that need to believe God for a better job and a financial breakthrough. Believe God for it right now. Start praising him. Start thanking him. Write me at pastor@beaconofhopeministries.com and I'll send you scriptures for that. It's been a wonderful time with you
Fabulous.
Today.
Yes.
Michelle Cardinal, Catherine Nivens, it is always a joy to have you on the show. This has been Pastor Marcia McAllister. This is Beacon of Hope Ministries. That's who we are. Beaconofhopeministries.com. Go check us out. God bless you. Tune in again next week, 4:00 live, Tampa time, 4 to 6. 2 hours of studying, talking, chatting, great music. Tell a friend. BeaconofHopeMinistries.com is our website. God bless you. It's not far to Jesus, Michelle.
Amen.
Amen. Great show. God bless you.
It's not far. It's not far from here.